you would, to Matthew chapter 8 tonight. I was thinking, and this be a very simple message probably tonight. Nothing wrong with simple. You know, I often think about this. When I first started preaching, I used to think, man, I want to get really deep. Want to find these truths, hidden truths. Then I got to notice how Jesus preached. He said, let me preach a message to you. He said, this farmer, he went about sowing the seed. Now, he went about sowing the seed and it fell on ground. Now, the seed was the word of God. This ground was this. Very simple. And I found this out in my lifetime. When you make it simple enough where even children can understand it, God does something with it.
Amen.
And sometimes I realize I've heard simple things that God just give me great truths out of. Tonight, begin reading, if you would, in chapter 8, in verse 1. Now remember, this is after the Sermon on the Mount, what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus had taught great truths. Now someone asked me about something I'm going to read here. I think it's Brother Bobby the other night. I was hoping he'd be here tonight. I was going to share it with him. But in verse number 1, it says this: when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and what?
Touched
him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now tonight, I want to preach upon the fact that he touched me. And I want to ask you this. Each and every person here, has he ever touched you? When he touches you, he gives you a whole different foundation. Your life never stays the same. The Bible talked about a wise man, foolish man that built their houses. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, talking about the judgment seat of Christ, says that there's no other foundation no man can lay than Jesus. And when he touches you, he gives you a foundation to build upon. And it's amazing. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer and we'll go from there. Heavenly Father, we ask you just take that word, the word that you gave us and left behind to us, the word that is alive and quickened, sharper than a two-edged sword. Lord, it's also a great comfort. It's food. It's milk. It's meat. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would take it, feed us tonight. You tell us that as we struggle in this life, that you're still our shepherd. We shall not want. And Lord, you tell us that you prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And Lord, it's so good to be able to come in the midst of this old world and sit here on a Wednesday night. And we pray that you would just spread a table out. Give us something from the Word of God. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, most of all, that word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. Thank you, Lord, for him coming. Thank you for him being present among us. And thank you, Lord, that he still lives through us. And Lord, if there be one here tonight that doesn't know Jesus, if he's never touched them, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would reach down and touch their soul tonight. And Lord, that they would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to take you to a few places. And if you don't mind, and then I'd like to come back to this portion of Scripture. Turning your Bibles once again while you're in Matthew chapter 8. Go ahead and look in verse number 16. Verse number 15, rather. In verse 14, the Bible says, when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he did what? He touched her. her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. In other words, she got up and she began to minister unto them. And I often think sometimes about some things that I've seen. And when God touched, and I know Brother Porter was one time with us when we went over to the lady's house, and she was on her deathbed. We all gathered, we prayed for 2 weeks, and we gathered in fields and behind trees and up in woods, and we'd prayed, and we met. And we were able to pray that God would somehow touch her body and just touch her. And I'll never forget when I saw her walk in that Sunday, the very next day from the day we were at her house. And she had this biggest grin on her face. And her face just shone. I couldn't believe. And she told me that she'd mowed the yard after we left. And I was thinking about Peter's mother-in-law laying in bed unable to do anything. And a touch from God. Somebody said, do you believe? I believe God can still touch people. Now, I don't go for all this garbage you see on TV, but I believe God still touches people. And I believe when he touches people, he can change them. Amen? Not only that, but let's look on. If you would, in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Notice, if you would, again, in verse number 7. Now here, Jesus is up on the mountain Transfiguration. Verse number 6 says, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and what? Touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. Now I'm going to tell you something. Even we that are God, the Lord's disciples, we need a touch from the Lord every now and then. We go through things, and as Brother Bruce was praying, sometimes we go through things we don't understand. Nothing will give us peace like having God to reach down and touch our souls. To know that God is present with us. Have you ever been going through something and all of a sudden you just felt the presence of God? And when you feel the presence of God, everything's okay. It's just like everything, you don't know what's going to take place. But even you're in the same situation you was a few moments before. But the difference is that God's touched you. And knowing that he touches you and he touches your heart. The Bible says in 1 Samuel, talking about Saul was with the men that had been touched by God. In other words, he touched their hearts. And I'm so glad that sometimes he can just reach down and touch your hearts. Look on, if you would, in Mark chapter number 7. And you get the gist of what I'm doing, but I just want to show you a few occasions where Jesus touched people. In Mark chapter 7. Look, if you would, in verse number 32. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had impediment in his speech. And they beseeched him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, put his fingers in his ears, and he spit, and he touched his tongue. Imagine. And again, of course, we find the guy just a few moments. His ears are open. His tongue is loose. And he spake plain. Isn't it amazing what a touch of God can do? You know, there was a time when I could not hear truths of God. There was a time when I could not speak to the Lord. There was a time when I was lost. And I know some people says, well, anybody can pray, but until your spirit's made alive, you can't have fellowship with God. You can pray as a sinner, but you can't pray as a child of God until you become a child of God. Amen. But you know what? When the Lord touched me, I all of a sudden began to hear truths I'd never heard before. I began to be able to tell truths that I'd never understood before. I was able to talk to my Father and cry, Abba, Father, when I go through hard situations. And I was able to come and pour my heart out to him. I cannot tell you how many times in a lone place in a living room or somewhere quiet, no one around, fall on your face and bury your face in a chair and just cry out to God. Nothing like it when you feel His touch that comes upon your life. Isn't it wonderful that when He saved you, He gave you the ability to speak to Him and to hear Him? Many people will say, Jesus warned of having ears and yet can't hear. Many people will sit year after year and listen to messages and just ignore. What a sad time it would be in hell. We preached the other day about almost being a sad word. What a sad time it would be in hell to know you were that close. You heard messages, but you didn't open your ears to hear. He wanted to come, and you refused to let Him touch you. Look on, if you would, in Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter number 8. The Bible says in verse number 49, and while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Remember, Jairus had come to get Jesus, come and heal his daughter. Trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not. She is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and he took her by the hand. Amen. And he called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her to eat, or to give her meat. Isn't it amazing, the touch of God? Kind of reminds me as well when I was dead. No hope. No life. But he touched me. And the moment he touched me, I felt life coming to me. Thank God. Look, if you want one more place, and I'll take you back to our original text. Luke chapter 22. This is when he's in the garden. They come to take him away. Peter grabs a sword, swings it, cuts off Malchus's ear. Verse 51 says, and Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear, and he healed him. Amen. Turn back, if you would, to Matthew chapter 8 just a moment. Can I tell you this, that God has given us several senses in our bodies. We have the sense of hearing. We have the sense of smell. We have the sense of sight, of touch, and of taste. All those lets us know and lets us be familiar with things that's around us. And it's important to understand and have those things. But there's nothing greater than to be touched. You know, we sing that song sometimes, He Touched Me. How many of you remember when the Lord touched you the first time? If you ever forget it, there's probably something wrong with you. Some people said, well, I don't remember the exact date. I can understand that. She was talking about Brother Jack, and he's getting dementia real bad. I've talked to several people with dementia. Some of them I talked to Chris's parents when they didn't know who she was. And I'd ask them, I said, do you remember when it was you got saved? They could take me back when they got touched. I'm going to tell you something. When you get touched to the Lord, you don't forget it. I don't care how long you go, how far you go. If you've ever been truly touched by the Lord, you remember it. You remember where you were when it took place. I don't remember the exact date, but I remember exactly where I was at in Sinking Creek Baptist Church. I had the pleasure of preaching there a few times lately, and I remember the first time I preached, I pointed to the spot. I said, right there. He touched me. He touched me there. Have you ever been touched by the Lord? Can I tell you this? I read several places just to say this to you tonight. I don't know what you're going through. But I do know this. Nothing else will take the place of a touch from the Master.
Amen.
He can change a situation that looks hopeless into one of praise. He can move in our lives in a way that we just don't understand. But let me give you this, and I want to give you this, and I want you to think about it. When Jesus touches us, there's a few things I want you to think about. One is, He has great pleasure in it. Did you know it pleases God? Now imagine this. Here he was. Now remember, he's just coming off the mount. He's coming down from the text that we read. He's preached, and they marveled at his teaching. He has great multitudes following him. And the text doesn't deal with this, but you know the history. We've talked about this several times. A leopard could not touch someone. He could not come into a crowd of people. If you touched him, you was considered unclean. And so therefore, here this leopard came. I can just imagine in my mind, knowing the Jewish tradition, and they all recognized who he was, and I'm sure they begin to part out of his way and just leave a road right to Jesus. And all the Jews sitting there, I could imagine what they were thinking. Here was a leopard. He was out of his place. He was unclean. No one could touch him. And therefore, if they did, it would curse them from the touch that they would have and make them unclean as well. I was reading about a missionary that went, and I believe he was serving in Hawaii. And he was serving, and he served to a colony of leopards. And he was he'd go day and night, and he would serve to them because nobody else would go into the colony. And he would serve them. And he would always start his message. He said, it's good to be with you, brother, or my fellow brethren. And said one morning he was fixing coffee. And he spilt some of the steaming coffee on his foot. And there was no feeling. And he said that Sunday, he got up before the group. And he said, it's good to be with you, my fellow leopards. He'd gotten leprosy from being around in the touch. But the marvelous thing about Jesus was, leprosy had no power over him. He took pleasure. You know why Jesus takes pleasure? I talked about this in prayer requests, but you know why Jesus takes pleasure? When you come and ask Jesus for a touch on you, you recognize him to be who he is. When you come and you cry out to God and ask him to save your soul, somebody said, I don't understand salvation. Can I give you a little secret? You'll never understand it. It's way too deep for you. But what you have to do is understand that the Son of God came to die upon the cross of Calvary for your sins. When you come to Him recognizing yourself as a sinner and putting yourself in place of a sinner and coming to Him as a Savior and your only hope, and you come and you call upon the name of the Lord, when you call upon the name of the Lord and you recognize Him in His proper place and you recognize that only He has the power to save you, and you come and you call upon His name, immediately you're born again. You know why? He has great pleasure because what you did was you put Him in the place that He belongs. And when you come to him and you recognize him, and when we're going through trials and we're going through troubles and we're going through sickness and we're going through pain, therefore, we only have one that can really make a major difference. And we come to him and we pray to him and we put our faith in him. You know, without faith, it's impossible what? Everything that we do is based upon faith. You say, preacher, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know how God can do anything. Now, sometimes God may have a purpose for what he's doing. But that's not up to you to decide. What you do is you come to him and you recognize he as God. This leopard, he didn't care what everybody else said. All he wanted was one thing. He wanted a touch. And boy, I can imagine the look on the faces of the Jews when Jesus had just gave a great message upon the mount. When that old leopard come and they were astonished that he even come in their midst. And then they see Jesus touch him. I can just imagine what it was like. Imagine when Peter's mother-in-law was laying there in the bed. He just walks over and imagine when he was going down through the city of Nain, and here come this widow weeping because her only son was in the casket and they were carrying him in a funeral procession. He stops it and he goes over and he takes him by the hand and pulls him up. His touch. Can I tell you something? Jesus has great pleasure in touching us. We have not because. Can I tell you a little secret? He's sitting there at the right hand of the Father. Not only as our mediator, not only as our intercessor, not only as our high priest, advocate, he's sitting there. And what he's wanting is to do. We can do nothing with God without going through him. It's his name that we ask everything. He has been given a name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. The Bible says God, we are saved by what? By faith, but through what? God's grace. And the Bible says this, God giveth grace to the... When you get to the point where you fall upon before God, I've been there, and sometimes I need to be there more than I am. But Bruce, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about there too. Sometimes just to preach a message, you have to get there, and you just have to. Sometimes you just get there. I'm sure you probably have, but I know with me, sometimes it's nearing time for me to preach. I've got no word. I've got nothing to say. I don't know what I'm going to do. And then I'll get down to a place where he is recognized. And then I feel a touch. Amen. And some of the greatest services we've ever had, it's when I've been sitting there few minutes before, and I've got something wrote down, but I know it's not what God wants me to preach, and I'm just tore all to pieces. And all of a sudden, I just feel the Lord just touch me. Or sometimes, even before I get ready to preach, all of a sudden during psalm, we have several specials, and during a psalm service, all of a sudden people just start coming down the aisle. And he begins to touch people. There's no substitute for the touch of God. And let me let you in on a secret. He loves to touch you. If you're here this morning or this evening not saved, Jesus would like nothing more than reach down and touch you and save you this morning. He'd like nothing more than to touch you in your situation. You notice he never balked, he never whined, he never complained when they would ask him. He'd walk over and he'd touch them. My goodness. Not only was that touch one of pleasure, it was one of purity. Isn't it amazing that you say, preacher, you just don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. The wonderful thing about it is nothing affects him. He always affects you. Nothing that you've done will affect him. That leprosy had no effect upon Jesus. The only thing that happened to that leper was he got healed. But that leprosy had no bearing with Jesus. Because, see, Jesus' touch is not only pleasurable, it's pure. Nothing can taint the touch of Jesus. He's able to do things. You say, preacher, I don't deserve it. Let me let you in on another little secret. Not a person here deserves it. He does it because of his great love for us. The power that he has. The authority that he has. He can walk out. He can speak to the sea. And it calms. He can speak to the dead and they come alive. He can speak to demonic running around cutting himself in tombs. And next thing you know, he's sitting there clothed and speaking in his right mind. You know why? It's the touch of Jesus. Folks, we need the touch. We need him to touch us. Can I ask you tonight? Maybe there's something you're going through. Maybe you need to be saved. Maybe there's something else upon your heart that you just need to come down and say, Lord, touch me. I need a touch from you. Would you come tonight? Would you let him have his way, Brother Porter, as we get a song?
Everybody join in. Let's sing. He touched
me. If you're here tonight, can you remember the first time he touched you? When he saved your soul? If not, maybe you need to come tonight. However God may lead you, would you come? Let him have his way. How about it?